This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, good morning. It's Monday. Da, 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 da. I like Monday because, hang on, this is a short list.
Oh.
No, no, because there are reasons to like it. You know, you can start every week with a couple of ideas of what you want to do in that week, and sometimes you get them done, and Monday is the day to do that. Like, who doesn't wake up on a Monday and go, alright, I'm gonna go to gym today, I'm gonna eat properly this week, I'm gonna...
Fresh start.
Yeah. And sometimes you do and sometimes you don't, right? Mm.
And then winter happens and you're like,
wow.
Winter is piling on so thick right now.
Yeah, winter's wintering.
Ooh. I like making a fire. I like making a fire. That's a good thing about winter. That's something I like. So I'm not going to... This list is not going to be long, as I said, but there it is.
Okay, but what's your Monday list?
No, that's it. Starting all kinds of things that you hope to keep going by the end of the week.
That's all.
Well, the thing about Monday is, like, Monday's like the first punch. So you got someone lined up in front of you. That first punch has to be great.
Correct.
Otherwise, there's a good chance you're not going to make it to the end. So get the first punch in, and then it gets easier to fight.
That's also why I like waking up early on a Monday. I don't really feel like it most days, but, you know, it just feels like you're getting your week started right. You're motivated, and you've got things going on.
Mm.
Plus, there's that list that Leanne told us about the other day, where if you are one of those people who wakes up early in the morning, that tends to be a sign that you are mostly the sort of person who's geared towards success.
Yeah.
People who wake up late seldom get anything done.
True.
And I don't want to jinx it just yet, but for the past 2 weeks, I found my sweet spot of sleep. Ooh, it's the little things that get you excited.
What's that, 11 hours and 27 minutes?
I don't know. I've been getting into bed at about 10 to 10. And between 10 to 10 and I'll say like 10:15, if I fall asleep then...
That's the sweet spot?
I am right up at 4:30, 4:45, and I'm feeling...
Fresh.
Nice.
I had that big 30th birthday party on Saturday, which was really cool. Everybody dressed up. It was superb. Probably about 100 people there. It was really good, yeah.
Oh, that's like a mini wedding.
That's a proper party, yeah. And it was just lovely. It was lovely people, who most of whom I know, and just great fun. Like, when only problem was, right, it started at, like, I arrived at probably 4:30, maybe 4:45 in the afternoon, which is more or less the time everybody arrived.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that you sort of run out of energy somewhere around midnight.
Well, you run out of party stimulation.
Correct.
That's what it really comes down to. Like, you've hit your sweet spot of booze.
That's right.
If you're single, you're going to try to hook up. If that hasn't happened, then you're not keen.
Yeah, then you want to call it quits.
And if you're not on the hunt, then you just want to go home and sleep.
Right.
Yeah, that's quite a long stretch of partying.
Mm. It was enough.
It's more than 6 hours. What time did you leave?
About midnight, yeah.
Somewhere good innings. 12.
Very good innings. I got home and then I woke up yesterday morning and I felt good. You know, so maybe there's something to it. Maybe you've got to do... Like Friday and Saturdays, maybe you need to start, if you're going to party, you need to start late afternoon and just push through until midnight and then hit the bed.
Well, anything after 12 is not a good idea. Nothing good happens.
I always heard it was later than that, but okay. I know that the dregs of any party are never a good thing.
No.
You always want to clear out before, you know, the people who crawl on all fours start being the only ones there.
It really is like a werewolf theory.
Yeah.
The ones that clock strikes 12, people start changing.
They do.
Manners get lost.
Uh-huh. They get embarrassing. All kinds of things start.
That people just become too comfortable in the dark, and they start acting accordingly.
Right.
These are all things I'm clearly not accustomed to just yet. I'm not that nice. But, yeah, then you had a good weekend, and that outfit came together nicely.
Yeah, I've got to take it back today. That's the only problem with hiring these things. You have to take them back the next day. It's always a bore leg to go and hand them in. It just is. It just feels like it's irritating. It's fun to get them because you look around and you're trying to find a different thing and, you know, you're excited about making your outfit work. And anyway, it's fine. I'll go and drop it off today. Then it's done.
And did everyone else also make an effort?
Everyone dressed up. You cannot believe some of the outfits.
What is the theme again?
Disco.
Okay.
So it was very 70s.
Ben's time.
I don't know. I think that's after Ben's time. Was that a sarcastic laugh or what?
That been too
or
bad.
Is that the, you mimicking a hippo? I'm trying to work it out. By the way, Leanne's not in today. She's away with her family. Of course.
It was a horrible segue.
Yeah, I know.
For the first time in 2 years, she's out of the city, she said.
First time in 2 years, she's sprung the coop.
Is that the way to go about it?
Oh, but yeah, like that's Leanne has gone through some things that obviously kept her in Joburg.
Mm.
You know, with her mom being so ill and those kind of things. So it's great. She's no doubt passed out right now.
Oh, for sure. By the way, yeah, she doesn't. There's no off button there.
No, I don't think she knows what time zone she's even in.
Tell me quickly. Anybody watch the presidential inauguration?
Hell no.
I watched the highlights.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, afterwards. I just briefly had the TV on because I had some company on Saturday. And I was just too involved in the conversation than the actual inauguration. I saw some people arrive live.
Yeah.
But other than that, I caught the highlights.
They did it at Loftus. And one of the only thing I saw was this clip that someone sent me of one of the paratroopers.
Mm-hmm.
Who landed on the field at Loftus and went straight into like a bollard or something.
May Fork Marlies's friend.
Exactly. And this guy's like a military trained parabat. We're in big trouble if anyone goes to war with us. I'll tell you what. I mean, I said some horrible things the other day about the Navy, and subsequently we've been contacted by someone who said, no, those submarines are not, that story's not true. So we'll catch up with him at some point. He's like he's an admiral or something, and he says that's absolute bullshit and I'm defaming the Navy. But the fact is, I mean, I don't think we've got much of a military to show. And I know Cyril must have told whoever the Minister of Defense is at the moment, must have said to them, listen, you pull out all the stops. I need some planes.
Mm.
I need some troops. I need the presidential guard. I mean, our military is a disaster. I think we could probably be invaded by Namibia and we'd lose.
Well, let's not think about that.
And everyone's a general. Everyone's a general. There must be about 5 or 6 troops and the rest of the army is generals, the Air Force generals, Navy's admirals. Everybody has rank.
Someone has a title.
Someone who was, you know, in Angola in the 1980s, straight to general. It's just no. There's nothing holding anyone back. Yeah. You can definitely be up there.
Mm.
And then you hear people, they describe the planes. And I watched maybe 5 minutes of it, but the planes, they're like trying to explain what's going on. And there's obviously some old dude from pre-apartheid who's like telling you what the plane is because no one since then has bothered to find out. And I've driven through Watercliff Air Force Base and the Swartkop Air Force Base. Those places are like derelict 1970s monuments to aviation. They are not modern military installations. And it's not hard to, I mean, we saw the Guptas landed their whole wedding party there. It's kind of like a backwater civilian airfield. That's what it is. It's not a military. These places used to be like, you know, these super secret state places where they had the best aircraft. They were developing their own aeronautical engineering and technology. And I mean, it was a big thing. I know that the apartheid government was shit people, right? But they had a couple of things right. Like the military was, that was an important priority for them.
It had to be.
They took a lot of trouble with that military, man.
Do you think there's possibly something still going on there that the general public doesn't know?
No.
No?
There's nothing
I reckon it's worse than you think. I think it's like troops sleeping with a packet of chips open next to them at the buttons with the alarms on them. I think it's sort of like I went out to, because we've got a family sort of farm and graveyard, which, I mean, we don't own the farm anymore. It was expropriated by the Atomic Energy Corporation, which is now Nexa. But I went out there yesterday with my parents. We went to go and just check on the farm and everything. And, you know, there's a national monument there and there's like generations of the family buried in the graveyard and all that kind of thing. So we go out there and check on it every now and then. And next door is the atomic energy, the reactor, the nuclear reactor, the Pelindaba reactor.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing, I wonder who's looking after it. Like, I think Nexa has kind of been hollowed out, like Eskom, and because it's not as important, if the nuclear reactor at Pelindaba isn't being run properly, it doesn't affect your and my electricity, so we don't know about it. If it isn't being run properly, it's not like if Transnet broke down completely and you couldn't use any of the rail networks. Nuclear, as far as I know, the reactor is still functional, but it's used to color topaz stones at the moment or something. The last time I went there and actually got a tour of the reactor, they were doing it for just that. It was there for experimental purposes, very much downgraded from what it was. And sure, look, we don't want, nuclear power from the point of view of a military anything. We don't want that. I think we're the only country in the world who has that, but we don't necessarily need, I mean, not the only country in the world, the only country in Africa. But we don't necessarily need nuclear military technology. What we need is, for research purposes, it must be there, but it's certainly not what it once was. And most of those buildings are derelict. And rusting, and I mean, I just get a little bit worried when I see that, and I think, well, there's a nuclear reactor in there. That's not the kind of thing that you don't maintain.
And you want just lying around.
Yeah, and if you're going to shut it down, there's a whole process that has to go with that, but it doesn't look like it's been shut down, and it doesn't look like Nexa is much of a going concern anymore. So I'd love anybody who has information about this to let me know, because it would be fascinating. I'd love to know what Jeff Radebe's plans are for nuclear energy, nuclear power, and that reactor in particular.
Well, at most, I was just pleasantly surprised a couple of years ago when I read that book by one of the lead doctors who worked with Madiba in his final days.
Yeah.
Remember that book?
Yes.
That was later banned by the family, to find out how much actually does happen at the base, and to find out all of this.
Oh, you mean the military hospital?
Yeah, and
well,
even
it's funny you bring that up,
at the airport,
because I saw there used to be a thing called ISCOR, which was like Iron and Steel Corporation of South Africa. It was like a partly state-owned enterprise. I think most of it was bought up by ArcelorMittal eventually, but the old ISCOR headquarters, which was taken over by Exxaro, I see they're renting the whole building now. It's up for rent. So there's no one in there at the moment.
Oh, no.
And that's right next to the military hospital where...
Yeah, so that is not just comforting.
Well, there's just a lot of stuff that kind of... I don't think anyone's paying attention. Like, Cyril's got a lot of work to do. And believe me, I am all for stability. I'm glad that he's sorting out the ANC, even if it's a person at a time. I'm happy to see Didi Mabuza's, like, more or less been pushed to the sidelines. There's a lot going on.
Hasn't he come back?
I don't know, but there's
a lot. I saw headlines of how he's back, where he is.
Oh, really?
I saw whispers that it could be Lindiwe Sisulu now taking up the deputy president position.
She is useless. She has done zero as a minister. Zero. She was minister of Home Affairs
at a time.
Yeah. Nothing was happening. The best person to ever run Home Affairs was Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma, and she appointed a really good director general, and she ran it well. I can't believe this Lindiwe Sisulu keeps being taken seriously. You know what her single greatest ability and asset is? Her name.
Yeah.
If she wasn't Lindiwe Sisulu, if she was something else, no one would ever pay her any attention. She is absolutely useless. I don't know what she's done. And then she became she was defense minister for a little bit as well. She's occupied a number of different ministries and done nothing in any of them. So, yeah, probably deputy president's right for her, because a deputy president doesn't do anything. Maybe that's the perfect portfolio for her. If you're going to look for something that has a job description that fits you, deputy president, it says there, do things only when something terrible happens to the president. Otherwise, sit in your office and twiddle your thumbs.
Well, to think...
Oh, that's perfect for Lindiwe Sisulu.
Didn't we also have that Asia teacher scandal recently, and she, Sisulu, as the Minister of International Relations, also really was put out a comment but didn't really do much. She didn't really say much.
She's really just, those people who go into the office and they and they clock in and then they sit at their desk all day and they like surf the internet and go on Facebook and you know, check their Instagram feed on their phone, and whenever you go into their office, they're like, yes, I'm just busy with something, but they're nothing going on there. They're like looking up where they buy their favorite makeup.
At the online shopping, yeah.
I hate that.
That's
where
she's got an office, and I'm telling you, there's a secretary, and the secretary goes, Minister, there's someone here to see you. She goes, who is it?
It's the Director General.
Oh, can you tell him I'm busy? I was just about to buy a bunch of stuff on Amazon. Just tell him, like, he can come back on Thursday, because I think Thursday I'm around, but I don't have anything on all day on Thursday. Tell him he can come at 10 in the morning, because I might only come to work at 9:30.
Okay, no problem, Minister.
I hate that in my mind, I'm so accustomed to the level of political power that I'm going, well, at least, you know, she hasn't done anything. So
yeah,
it's
yeah,
not
you're
as
almost
if,
like,
you know, she's bad, that yeah. bad.
Yeah, well, this is it. This
she
is
just sits around. So
doing nothing is almost like...
is better than someone who's gone out and done shit.
It's yeah.
It's actually sad that
anyway, look,
we've reached this
point. Let's give Cyril... he's what we've got, okay? Mm-hmm. And I have not been the biggest fan. You know, Pumi and I talk about him once a week, and she's not a big fan of his either. I know that we've spoken about his cabinet decisions and the burning platform before. Let's give him a go here. He's got a chance to put together a cabinet. Maybe he puts some really good people in there. Let's hope so. That's what he says.
But where would he find these good people, Gareth?
Well,
because the ANC aren't exactly good at harvesting or producing these people.
You know, if your tree produces sour, withered lemons, but you can only pick lemons from that tree.
You'll make the best lemon juice that you can there, lemonade.
He'll only make lemon juice.
Rotten,
he won't make lemonade.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, the inauguration wasn't here nor there for me, I think.
Okay, well, if anybody did watch it and you have any comments on that, we'd like to hear from you. Mm. You know what to do. You can send us a voice note, if you like, on 0797482090. Love to hear from you, see what you're up to this Monday morning. And if you did something fun over the weekend that you want to boast about, you can do that too.
Well, that inauguration thing caused havoc for the dog show I was emceeing. The border collies were going nuts, all those planes kept flying over.
Oh, shit.
I was in the Pretoria area.
Oh, right, you were
and
at the dog
those,
show, how was
And
that?
All those planes, the dogs were just going nuts. There was this one Amstaff called Murphy, couldn't finish the run. Plane was coming
Murphy.
Over, Murphy the Amstaff was just hidden in the tunnel.
Murphy's look. No, not going to go. Not going to do
that. That was quite an event at the Irini Village Mall. Cool place. Like, it's so far off my radar. So, like, I love living in this general Gauteng area. You always discover new things.
Well,
okay, Ben.
It's somewhere I haven't been before. Oh. How is that a weird thing to report back on?
That's a shame, man.
Did you do a good job?
I think I did. I'm a professional, Gareth.
Yeah, but I mean, what sort of stuff were you required to say? Did you have to know all the breeds off by heart? Or
no,
did you have someone there to help you?
It wasn't so much a dog show. It was a dog exhibition of various things from, like, attack dogs. Well, not attack dog, but like canine security.
Right.
There was demonstrations where the dogs would just, like, bite this guy's arm.
Oh, jeez.
There was speed, agility. There was dancing. There was obedience skills. It was interesting.
And was what Leanne,
I enjoyed it.
Was what Leanne said accurate, that these dogs genuinely enjoy this? Like,
yeah, the border collies just go nuts. Like, they were just loving it. They had this game that were just running back and forth playing with this ball. It was like, it was very interesting to see.
They and say then, that those are the cleverest dogs of all, right?
They're so eager to please. They're constantly looking at their owner / guider to, like, see what's next. You know, am I getting a ball? Am I jumping? Am I doing this? What am I doing?
Right.
That's all the energy. That's cool. Like, a whole bunch of people came out, and this one woman, she was 83, and she had a blind dog, and they were in the dancing dog competition. This 83-year-old woman, she was on the floor, she was doing rolls.
Wow.
And all kinds of things.
That's
in, like,
impressive.
This, in this, like, leopard sequin outfit, and then her little blind dog was just following her on sounds and the smell of treats, and they did this routine together. It was really quite something.
That sounds like a beginning of a very odd joke.
And there's another woman who looked like Barbara Streisand. She had this, like, long-haired dog that, I mean,
also looked like Barbara Streisand.
But the routine was just really quite something.
Tell me, the old adage of, like, people look like their dogs or their dogs look like them, when you're at a dog show, is that true?
Sometimes. Although no one really looks like a border collie. But yeah, I mean, this look, there was a lookalike competition, and the woman that won, her and her dog had the same outfit on.
Wow.
Which was...
Okay, that's impressive.
Which, again, was just... It was a wonderful thing to see.
Right.
Both rocking magenta on a Saturday.
Oh. Yeah. Well, listen, your life is very exciting, Ben. You get to do these dog shows. Ben went and partied on Saturday night.
Got drunk on Saturday. Yeah. Hung Ooh, over all
you?
Sunday.
Where did you party?
Went to Swole. It was their first birthday.
The old Mavida.
Yeah.
How did you find it?
By Uber. Yeah, it was cool. It was, like, it's pretty any club I actually go to. I had a lot of fun.
All right, so a couple of things that you might want to know this morning. Shall we get into those?
Yes.
Just some newsy stuff, you know? Start your week properly so that you're not left out in the cold, because it's pretty cold. And we don't want you to be freezing in the winter.
On the first Game of Thrones this Monday.
Yes, that's right. Oh, my God, I had withdrawal symptoms last night.
Did you?
Really?
Well, I just thought there's nothing to watch on Monday night. I used to make it a thing of watching Game of Thrones on a Monday night.
There's so many new shows. Have you started watching that Chernobyl show?
That is apparently
I'm starting
awesome.
Today.
Me too.
Okay.
I flicked through the that's first episode of it.
Is it worth it?
There's always something new. This is the thing about TV. You can't mourn a missed show. There's new stuff.
Well, I have a friend of mine who's also big into Game of Thrones, and he says that he's looking forward to this behind-the-scenes special, supposedly.
I saw
that was...
On Showmax, there's an entire series. So for every episode, there's like a behind-the-scenes episode.
Mm.
Sometimes even two per episode.
Okay, well, maybe we should get into those.
If you have withdrawal symptoms, so that's something
I
for you.
I think there was two episodes alone just for episode 5.
Okay.
Two behind-the-scenes.
Cool. Yeah. The Office of the Presidency has said that the cabinet announcement will be made later in the week. In a statement issued on Sunday, the presidency dismissed media reports that the announcement will be made today. It did not give a certain date for the announcement. The Constitution stipulates the president must assume office within 5 days of being elected by the National Assembly and thereafter appoint a cabinet and assign its powers and functions. So the president says the new executive must possess requisite skills. See, Ben. Experience, representativity, and commitment to the public services that will take the work of the 6th administration forward. There's been speculation over who will make the cut, but they say they're going to slice down the departments from 35, and they will reduce them accordingly. So the EFF's leader, Julius Malema, said on Sunday that if Ramaphosa appoints outgoing public enterprises minister Pravin Gordhan, he will be a constitutional delinquent. And if he doesn't appoint David Mabuza, he would be digging his own grave. Oh, well, Julius is telling you who he supports. And are we surprised? Not really.
Absolutely not.
Okay. The man in the parachute accident at the inauguration is not in ICU, according to the South African National Defence Force. They've rejected claims that a member of the skydiving freefall team is in intensive care after crashing into a rocket launcher.
Oh, sure.
The incident happened during President Cyril Ramaphosa's inauguration. A video of the incident was shared on social media, with some questioning the skills of the country's soldiers.
In his defense, it's tough landing in a stadium.
Sure, it's very difficult.
Sidebar, does
I stopped doing it a long time ago.
Does anyone know why the inauguration was held at the stadium? Because it was the first inauguration not at the Union Building.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe they just wanted to draw a crowd or change things up. Or
they wanted some more chairs being in the stadium.
Okay.
They wanted the West Pavilion to be used.
That's
because
exactly
no one's
it
using
was.
It with rugby at the moment. So, you know, there's no one going to watch rugby there. So they may as well put it to some use. Maybe Loftus paid the presidency to just do something there. We need a crowd. Anyway, a stranded man and woman were found shot dead in a buggy near the N12. This is terrible. A 19-year-old guy and a woman in her 20s were shot dead on Pitfontein Road near a bridge above the N12. Paramedics said the pair were stranded on the road when their buggy ran out of diesel. So who would have shot them? Isn't that horrible? The killer, see ya? The woman was found inside the vehicle with a single gunshot wound. The man was found outside the vehicle with multiple gunshot wounds. Both were declared dead on the scene. Two workers who were traveling with the pair but had fled the scene returned once emergency services arrived. They alleged a group of men had approached them after they'd been stopped on the side of the road. Police are investigating, so a very suspicious situation there.
Mm.
Mm. And then a fake prophet has been nabbed for swindling Tswanish. Can we please stop calling these guys prophets? And if you could prove to me that they've got three really big predictions right, then we can start entertaining the word prophet, shall we? But until then, it's just not necessary for these people to be called this. They could be called charlatan until further notice.
I disagree. They are completely prophets. P-R-O-F-I-T.
Ah, but that's not the kind they're talking about. They want
to. I just thought that's what they actually called themselves now.
But good for you, Ben, that you considered the possibility they could be honest and just be going after the money. But police have arrested a suspected con artist who targets students in Tswane. I would like to say that students who fall for this stuff should have to pay the price.
Yeah. The thing about con artists is that they're also ultimately, I don't think that that's a crime.
I mean, if you're in a tertiary education institution,
you should be smarter,
and you don't know that you're being swindled, then you're gullible enough to not really be taken seriously. And maybe you shouldn't be in a tertiary education institution either. Maybe you deserve to lose your money to this prophet, P-R-O-F-I-T. The guy swindled laptops from female students through a confidence game that leads the victims to believe he's a prophet.
Oh, bless you.
Yes, you see, I'm being attacked by demons.
You're catching the spirit.
Yeah.
Let it all out.
Apparently what he does, he says he'll get rid of bad luck and curses. So if you believe in bad luck and curses and you think that some dude bibbidi bibbidi bobbidi boo that away, you know, simsalabim.
Well, you're talking to a large chunk of society, the same people who will call the number on that little stuck on
for erectile dysfunction.
Yeah, lost lover. Small penis.
And those people who will drink petrol if the priest tells them to, or eat grass. Do you remember those people?
Mm-hmm.
So spokesperson Daniel Mavibela said the man also duped victims into handbags. he wanted their handbag. Maybe he's a handbag collector. Apparently he was arrested in Sunnyside on Friday after he was spotted by one of his victims. The victims were told to buy specific items at supermarkets under the guise that these would be used in rituals to cast out bad luck and curses. God, these people are basic if they're falling for this shit, aren't they? Really? Yo, some people are dense, need to be taken advantage of. You know, sometimes you deserve this kind of thing. Now, apparently, the ANC is being rocked by, and you remember the rape allegations leveled against some of its senior leaders ahead of elections. This was ahead of the elections, but the party has been urged to involve the police instead of resorting to internal processes. So, you know, it's Zizi Kodwa and Pule Mabe, right, that they're talking about. Mm-hmm. The ANC Women's League have called for the protection of women and the duo to be removed. Now, last month, Mabe's accuser, the 26-year-old Gerano Kekana, reached a settlement with the ANC, while Kodwa's accuser withdrew the charges. So these two are going to get away with this, effectively. There's no investigation.
Hmm.
Now, I'm sorry, rape is a very serious crime. It's not something you can settle with money. Rape is a criminal offense. It means it can't be dealt with in a civil sense. Criminal charges must be leveled against these people in a court of law, and they must be found guilty or not guilty by a court of law. It is not for the ANC to decide, oh, well, if we can pay off these women, we will. God alone knows what those settlements must have been. But it's not acceptable that this gets dealt with only inside the ANC. Right?
Completely, but that's the whole thing. So they always believe they're above the law like this.
Imagine any of us thinking we could get away with rape just by paying someone off. That's very concerning. Very, very scary. All right, so they're the five big stories you need to know today. Let's get to Ben and see what's going on in the world of sport. By the way, if you're looking at cryptocurrencies, don't forget we've got that coming up a little bit later on today with Revix. So I'm going to save that for later. You can get all the latest on what's going on in the world of cryptocurrencies. Ben, over to you.
3 days until the Cricket World Cup, more drama in the Monaco Grand Prix, and the French Open started.
Oh, yes.
Yes,
I saw that yesterday. Very, very good. All right, so here it is. Here's Ben with the latest.
Yes, the Cricket World Cup, it's finally here this week. So Thursday, it all kicks off, the 31st of May, SA versus England. England, of course, are the... Oh, there's such... They're such beautiful people, aren't they? They're such great cricketers. All the hype has gone right up their ass the last few days. I mean, like, I even saw a tweet yesterday. English cricket was asking which player had the best hairstyle. Dude, they all look like boy banders at the best of times. But they were actually put out to play over the weekend, and they lost to Australia. They set Australia a target of 297 for 9. England all out for 285. Now, bear in mind that they've played a lot of cricket, they have, England, last few months. And when you play a cricket World Cup at home, there is so much extra pressure, extra tension on you. Hence me saying how amazing these guys are, because there's just been so much pre-tournament hype. And they're bound to fizzle out, because there's only so much of this you can do. Plus, England have now physically have injuries. It's a big concern for them. There's some key players out injured, and there's some doubts going into the tournament. And they finally lost to a decent team. So Australia, they had the cheating duo of Smith and Warner back, to which they got booed mercilessly.
Mercilessly.
Gosh, I stumbled on that one. Booed heavily. Steve Smith scored 100 and was booed. And he should be booed forever and ever, really. If I see Steve Smith ordering a coffee, I'd probably boo him. He's a cheat. He's a little crying, cheating, cheat bag. Guy. So anyway, he's good form though. There he is. India also huge favourites in this World Cup. Also hammered. They scored 179, and New Zealand absolutely killed them by 6 wickets. So New Zealand are very much always that dark horse team going into World Cups. That's just what they do. That's just who they are.
The Black Caps.
The Black Caps. Yes, that's them. So they confirmed the dark horse status by beating India. So 2 big upsets. Afghanistan, they also played over the weekend.
Yes.
And they beat Pakistan.
It's my team. Those are the guys I'm backing.
They beat Pakistan, Gary.
See, Afghanistan, they pulled a rabbit out of the hat. You wouldn't have said that normally.
No.
Pakistan's way more organized than Afghanistan, right?
Well, just less war as well, which also helps cricket. Less people being marginalized by the Taliban, which means better cricket.
Yes.
SA, well, they had a decent warm-up victory against Sri Lanka, and then they went out and they were pretty good against the West Indies, but then the British summer, that brutal British summer, just ruined the game. It just rained the whole day. And of course, this is the thing, right? You play cricket in England, it's going to rain. You shouldn't play cricket in England as a result, but this is where we are, because England, obviously along with India and Australia, they kind of own world cricket, so they'd rather have 7 World Cups there before they go anywhere else. Bangladesh are playing Pakistan. That match was abandoned as well with rain. Gosh, there's so much rain around. There are a few more warm-up matches, but ultimately all that matters is Thursday, England versus South Africa, the opening of the World Cup, which will go on until, I think, July the 14th. So it's a long time, but it's also a good time because all the best teams in the world. So it's strength versus strength, which is going to be very interesting. All teams play 9 matches, and then we go to the semis and the final. So very easy to follow the format of this, unlike Super Rugby. Speaking of which, it was a pretty good weekend, I guess, for the South African teams. The Chiefs started off the weekend beating the Reds 19-13. The Brumbies beat the Bulls 22-10. Unfortunately for the Bulls there, they were looking to go back-to-back. But then on the Saturday, Sunwolves, the host of the Rebels, got hammered 7-52. The Crusaders beat the Blues only by 8 points, 19-11. Waratahs lost to the Hagawarath now very much looking like they're going to top the SA Conference. If you don't understand that, don't worry about it. Stormers, they beat the Highlanders 34-22 in a pretty dominant performance. And then the Sharks and the Lions. Well, the Lions just aren't themselves this year. But the Sharks as well, they've been pretty average at home. Lost most of their games. I think they've won more games away than at home. But they were 27-17 victors. And most importantly, Kerwin Bosch outshowing Elton Dunches.
Ben, if I gave you, I don't know, 500 rand, however much these teams cost these days, because they're not as valuable as they used to be. If I gave you 500 rand and said you could buy any South African team, which one would you buy?
I'd buy the Bulls. I think there's still more potential with the Bulls than anywhere else.
Okay.
Look, I think there's... This is a very long conversation, so I'm not going to have it now. But I still think Super Rugby, if we get it right, the package is still there. It's still the best rugby that we have outside of international rugby. And I think these teams have a lot of potential still to be good and interesting in society. Problem is, there's just too many different role players are pulling everything in different directions. And that's where we'll leave rugby for this time. Oh yeah, there were sevens in London. Blitzbox didn't do so well, but they did manage to qualify for the Olympics in Japan. So That's very good, I guess.
All right.
The Grand Prix. Monaco Grand Prix, as you would expect. Mercedes 1-2 on the grid. Ferrari just don't seem to either care, or they've got an 8-year-old in charge there. I don't know. One of the two or both. Maybe they've just got an aloof 8-year-old with Italian designer sunglasses. So they didn't send Charles Leclerc out in the second round of qualification because they just got the timing wrong or some shit. You can't make this stuff up. It's so juvenile. So Hamilton and Bottas on pole, and everything was going great until Leclerc then got a puncture and his tire ripped up, so they had to have a safety car out where all the debris was taken off the track. Then everyone came in and changed their tires. As that was happening, Verstappen hit into Bottas. Verstappen got a 5-second penalty. Bottas got a puncture. So that meant that Vettel could just do what he normally does, just basically be a nondescript kind of almost there guy and stick around while Hamilton ultimately won. He did so on really like a strange tire sort of strategy as well, which is impressive on how he does drive. He was on the medium tires. Everyone else was on the harder tires. Verstappen was going at him the whole time. But he held them off. That's the thing about Monaco, is that you can hold drivers off if you've got issues with your car. And in true Niki Lauda style, Hamilton went on. He battled through the adversity and he recorded his third victory in Monaco. And of course, everything was dedicated to Niki Lauda. He passed away last Monday.
That's right.
So that was the Grand Prix. Mercedes won again.
Okay.
There is tennis on the go. It is Roland Garros.
Yes.
Right, is it? On the clay, of course, the dirty brown clay. Now, Tsitsipas and Federer have already won their first round games. So has Kei Nishikori. So that'll be taking place from now, really. I know these first couple of rounds are mostly with people whose names you can't pronounce. But it all gets much more interesting as of next week. And it is the start, essentially, of the big summer season out in Europe. You'll start having other big events like the Tour de France. There's Wimbledon. There's the Open Championship Golf. It's a wonderful couple of months in the Northern Hemisphere when the sun actually touches your skin and something happens. It's beautiful. So we've got that to look forward to over the next few weeks.
Cool.
Otherwise, there is not a whole bunch more sports. I've got to say, it was a very lean sporting weekend. But that's what happens when football kind of stops.
Was Monaco always looks so beautiful for the Formula One, and it is a really interesting little place. I mean, I've walked on those streets, and they're not wide, and
they're not special.
It's not designed for cars to go at those kinds of speeds, and yet it is the number one event in the Formula One calendar. It's just incredible, little city.
It's the history, of course, but yeah, it does look quite comical with those cars when they go around some of those bends.
Yeah.
I mean, if you were in a Mini Cooper, you'd like really go into first gear and go around. Now you've got guys trying to overtake each other. It does look very comical. And Monaco will always be Monaco. I think many people say that, you know, it's outdated and it's not that interesting because the people can't pass like they do, but it's Monaco. And all those yachts and all the prestige and all that kind of stuff. And obviously all the drivers want to win there. The after party must be insane.
Oh, wow.
Jeepers, that must
imagine
be
all there. Those rich people just...
just being rich.
Yeah.
Just rich people everywhere.
Mm.
Good-looking people. Everyone's got a tan. Good teeth.
Princess Charlene. She
was let out for a bit yesterday. Uh-huh. She was there on the podium.
Yeah.
And she was doing the usual thing of pleading with the drivers to take her away. she was there. She looks like she's just over life, huh?
No, I don't know. I saw some pictures of her looking pretty happy the other day. With her kids, who are beautiful little children.
It wasn't yesterday. She did not look happy.
You don't think so? Really?
Unless she had money on Verstappen. I don't know if she's a big gambler. Prisoner Charlene, the big gambler. I mean, maybe that's what she does.
Okay, well...
She's holding up in that turret with an online account.
Speaking of money, let's check in with Anthea, who's here this morning. Hey, Anthea, how are you?
Good morning. I'm well, thank you.
Are you feeling good?
I am.
Ready for a good week?
Should be a good week. Well, what's going on?
Yeah, let's hope so. I mean, we want some good news and we need the economy to start bouncing. Before we get to any of that, though, I saw Tito Mboweni, who's mostly meant to be finance minister.
Mostly?
No, but he tweets about a lot of stuff, you know. Yes. He's
Especially Kigali.
Yeah, he's very vocal about all kinds of stuff online. And listen, by the way, the Kigali stuff, he's got a good point.
He does.
About how they tidy themselves up and they clean up. And I wish we could, too. I was driving around yesterday. And went out a little way out of the city. And it's just amazing how much mess and litter and filth there is everywhere. So I do think, you know, there could be something in all of his Kigali tweets. But he said yesterday, we've got to stop calling the president Cyril and start calling him the president.
Oh.
Yeah, so this is his new area of, now he's very focused on that. But let's instead focus on the economy and focus on where we're at the moment. Here she is, Anthea Geiger. What do we got today?
Where do I even start? I mean, you said you wanted things to turn around. We definitely do. I mean, last week, geez, the market was in terrible shape.
Yeah.
In fact, when I last checked, the All Share Index, which is kind of our benchmark for the JSE, was having its worst month since February 2009.
Oh.
Yeah. It was down like 7% for this month. We still got a week to go, so we could turn it around, maybe.
Well, let's see.
Unlikely.
Okay, so let's take a look at CPI inflation.
Yes, so
they
inflation,
usually use that as a marker as
So inflation came out below expectation. Expectation was 4.5%, which is smack bang in the middle of the Reserve Bank's target range of 3 to 6%. And you'll remember last year, Francois Krupa said that's what they want, right? They're targeting the mid-range. Because we were all saying 3 to 6 is a big range, and if inflation falls below 6, then shouldn't you be cutting interest rates? And so the Reserve Bank came back and said, no, not below 6. We want 4.5. Now it came out at 4.4 on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, did the Reserve Bank cut rates?
No.
What are they doing?
Well, I've said this before. The whole reason that the Reserve Bank exists is because they've got this one very crude tool for setting the interest rates.
That's monetary policy.
That's all they've really got. And they meet what? How often?
Every 2 months.
And when last did they change the inflation? I mean, the interest rate?
Last year, November, they increased the interest rate, and that was their big mistake, I think. So instead of cutting or leaving it the same, they increased it.
Uh-huh.
And so now we've got this higher interest rate. And the hope is, of course, so the theory and the hope is that if they cut interest rates, it's a stimulus for the market. 60% of our economy is made up of consumer spending. If they cut interest rates, they put more money in the consumer's pocket. The consumer feels more confident, spends more, and the economy lifts.
Okay.
They didn't do that. They made a mistake, I think.
All right. So
I mean, they were sounding a bit more dovish last Thursday. So definitely. And the vote was 3-2 against a 25 basis point or a quarter of a percent rate cut. So three of them said keep it the same and two of them said cut. So they have this funny little quantitative model which says, you know, if we're expecting inflation to do this and the oil price to do this and food to do that, food price inflation to do X, Y, and Z, and if all things go according to these trajectories, then we are likely to see a rise, a change, or an increase or a cut in rates at this stage. And they said first quarter of next year. But I think they've got enough ammunition to actually cut sooner. And actually, the market is pricing in a cut in the next quarter, which is interesting. So you saw the bonds rally because there was a buying of bonds on Friday after this no change in rates. So fingers crossed. They should have cut, I think, on Thursday, but they didn't.
All right, let's look at some of the companies reporting. And, of course, massive corporate CEO shakeups are going on. So let's take a look at these quickly.
I've never seen anything like this in 1 week. So in 1 week, we had I can never say his name, Otto Pertu, of Choppies. He's the CEO of Choppies. He was suspended.
I saw one of their trucks the other day and thought of you. Because you remember when we started Choppies? Well, yes, because we used to talk about Choppies quite a lot, but I haven't seen a Choppies store in my life, so I wouldn't.
I know they exist. Places like Brits, you'll see a Choppies.
Yes, that's right. Okay. I'm glad something made you think of me. Choppies truck.
It's a Choppies truck. So what happened with their CEO? He's been suspended?
Yeah. So you know when Choppies first came?
The CEO of Bulldog.
Go on.
So when we first heard about Choppies, when they were expanding into South Africa, because it's a Botswana brand, we were all excited because it was a good story, but somehow they just never followed through, right? They had all these great DCs or distribution centers they were putting out, and they were lowering cost of sales and all these things. And it just never worked. And apparently the CEO didn't do a good enough job. So everything was lined up. He just didn't execute, apparently. And then Mitch Slape is replacing Guy Hayward at Massmart.
Mm-hmm.
So Mitch Slape, he's a real Walmart guy, right? He's been in Japan and India and the U.S. He's about 51 years old. And they're bringing him now to take over Massmart. And the question everyone is asking is why they're bringing him in. Is it to get rid of Massmart or get rid of their stake? Because Walmart's stake in Massmart is now worth 80% less than when they bought it.
Ooh, that's going to hurt.
It's terrible, right?
Wow. So they might be dumping Macro.
Well, but I don't think so. I think it's the other way around. I think they're bringing Slape in to turn it around, actually.
Okay.
I mean, you wouldn't invest that much money in a country, in a company, and then just give it up, even though it has lost you 80% of its value that you paid for it.
Fair enough.
And then Phakamani Hadebe, he quit as Eskom CEO. And then Ascendus Healthcare.
The less said about that, the better. I see you moved on very swiftly from Phakamani Hadebe.
Yes, exactly. I'm over that.
Okay.
So they're reporting tomorrow, and the story is that there's going to be a 20 billion rand loss. I mean, I don't know what to say about
it. Unbelievable, especially when you have the monopoly. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Isn't that outrageous?
And then when did he exactly announce it?
I think it was Thursday or Friday. Why?
Okay, because I thought he announced it over Friday night. Because Saturday morning we were all watching the inauguration, and I just saw it as a strip of a headline.
Might have been.
Yeah, if he was being shoddy and announcing it at midnight or something.
This makes very little in the way of headlines. People are like, another Eskom CEO. So who else? Ascendus Health, you were about to say.
Yeah, Thomas Thompson, CEO, he got fired.
Wow.
And then this big surprise, Peter Moyo of Old Mutual. Was suspended, Reed fired.
Wow, suspended? Why?
Yeah. So it's got something, well, we don't know. So we think that it's something to do with this private company, NMT Technologies or NMT Investments or something, that he owns, and he was passing business through and, you know, something. But so what's his name? Trevor Manuel is chairman of Old Mutual. He came out very strongly on Friday and said, no, that, you know, it's personal reasons. He wasn't really fired. And, oh, please. Like, that's very sweet of you to try and save face. But
sure.
Yeah. Big drama there. The share was down 5.9% on Friday morning from Peter Moyo's firing after we heard of it. I mean, there's obviously
something going on.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Well, we'll keep an eye on that one.
Yeah.
All right, let's look at some of the movers quickly. I see Sasol was down 15% on Wednesday.
Oh, what a story. So, you know, they've got this Lake Charles chemical project in the U.S., which when they started out, not last year, the year before, they went to shareholders and said, and obviously the board, and said, well, it's a great project. It's a cracker methane project. And it'll cost us in the region of $3 billion. The final number on Wednesday is $13 billion. On Wednesday they came to the market and said, so that's a bit of an overrun, right?
Wow.
So Sasol's got a really bad reputation for starting projects being 30% over cost and running late. We knew that when they were doing LCCP. And
it's amazing they can attract any investors with that reputation.
They promised us. They said, no, absolutely not. We'll make sure that this one runs on time. We've included all the costs in our forecasts. Uh-huh.
Okay.
I mean, from 4 billion to 13 billion is just spectacular. And then Massmart we've spoken about. Right.
You said down 14%.
Do you know, I think, I feel like the retailers in South Africa have cut costs to the bone. They really, Foschini Group also reported, and I feel like there's not much else they can do to keep costs in check. And in Massmart's case, it was staff and some IT that they depreciated, although depreciation doesn't go onto the balance sheet. But my point is, I feel like retailers are spectators of a bad South African economy. And all of them, it just feels like if the economy just turned round, they'd be fine.
Sure.
And it was exactly the same thing. Why are you laughing?
Well, no,
you're
not being sarcastic. That's how a lot of people feel in various sectors, but I think retail more than any other.
Yes, because, as I said earlier on, 60% of our economy is driven by consumer spending.
Right.
So it's just a shame. So, Massmart was down 14% on Thursday as well. And then, of course, Old Mutual. And then some of the noteworthy results, besides Massmart reporting on Sasol's update, we also had the Foschini Group. And as I said, same story, you know, a 19.6% increase in retail sales, so not bad. Online turnover is jumping. Online turnover has increased by 57% in the year. So that's interesting. South Africans definitely are getting into online shopping. There's no doubt. I can see the trend.
Mm-hmm.
But then the number that we really compare is headline earnings per share, and that was only up 9%. And so, again, it's this kind of cost control margin story. And they didn't do too – the Foschini Group's great. They didn't do too badly. They've managed to control margins to a point.
Okay.
And then another company that I kind of am just – sitting there waiting, that is probably just sitting there waiting for a turnaround in the economy, also reported Soho Sun.
Yes.
It's not a great story. Unfortunately, profits were down. But if you include the acquisitions, then it's not a bad story. But really, this is a story of operating leverage. So if Soho Sun's revenue increases by 5%, their earnings will increase by 13.7%. If their revenue increases by 7.5%, then earnings increases by 26.2%. And this is the difference between fixed and overhead, variable costs, right? So basically, they've cut to the bone, they've managed their costs as best they can, and any upside is just profit, right?
So someone has a question for you for next week, probably, but can you give us an overview of the banking sector? We'd love to hear your take. How the various banks have performed, what they're doing right, what they're not doing right,
sure.
What the state of the
banking. That's a nice project, actually.
Yeah,
I mean, because it's something we do all the time anyway. We compare banks. I'd love to. I'll just give you kind of a who's doing what and
sure.
How they grow their earnings and how the return on equity, which is like the investment part of the business, compares to each other.
Great.
And who's being innovative. And have you seen the Absa ad that's running? Because Discovery are saying that they're launching this upstanding card, a different card. You know, all they've done is changed the way we use our card. So normally it's kind of horizontal,
like
now vertical.
Vertical card.
Yes.
Yeah, I saw an ad for that.
Yeah, Discovery's vertical card. Well, hey, look at us. How innovative is that? Absa turned around and said, we are the first, actually. You're not.
Oh, really?
In all the ads.
Oh, wow.
So our student cards were vertical cards. Get over yourselves, Discovery.
Wow.
Well, you think you're somebody who researched that.
You'd think.
You would have thought, right?
All right. So there's one other story I want to hear from you about, and that is Theresa May.
Oh, my goodness.
Crying outside of 10
woman.
Downing Street saying, I'm sorry I couldn't deliver Brexit. Please don't be mean to me. And I'm only the second female prime minister. Like, that's got anything to do with anything.
But, you know, this. I don't know what to say.
You don't want to pile on.
I don't really want to. But, you know, Maggie Thatcher, the Iron Lady, was known for crying in the bathroom as well, huh?
Well, in the bathroom. She never cried on...
Not in public.
Never.
Yeah, and I guess that's the difference. So, and, of course, then there's the EU elections as well. So it's all coming together now. We'll see what happens. I mean, I think her opposition are dreadful, though. They really are just two-faced and ugly. And
they're politicians.
Oh, sorry. Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
correct.
Silly of me. How could I forget, you know?
Really?
Are you expecting Hugh Grant?
Like what? He's a upstanding.
He wants someone nice.
Yeah.
I'm not sure Hugh Grant falls into the nice character.
No, he's a serial womanizing drunk.
Exactly.
But
thanks for clarifying.
At least he's consistent.
All right.
Yeah, that's true. They're not consistent, those politicians. Anyway.
All right, very good.
We'll see what happens this week, right?
Excellent. Thank you, Anthea.
Thank you very
much,
guys.
Very, very good. Anthea Gardner, and a look at the money shot. And don't think that that's all the money that we've got you to talk about this morning. We've also got Revex up next with a little bit of excellent news if you're a cryptocurrency investor, because I see that Bitcoin is currently trading at $8,713. Ethereum at $268. So people are very excited about that, because that means that things are starting to move in the positive direction instead of in the negative. Some people talking about a dead cat bounce and all kinds of things, but we will find out exactly what is going on with Sean Saunders from Revex next, and of course talk about some of the other altcoins and some of the indices which they will allow you to buy into. So that's very exciting stuff. Right, Ben?
Very exciting.
Oh, Ben, shut up.
You just caught me in a yawn.
Oh, please.
That's what I do. I yawn.
Just horrendous. Ben getting excited about anything on a Monday morning is extremely difficult.
I get excited about a lot of things.
Oh, yeah?
I'm excited about being here.
Oh, wait.
This is CliffCentral.com.